another strikeout. Foul tip, struck him out. He threw it at 98 right by him. Five strikeouts for Jones through the first eight hitters. Ahead 1-2 on Nimmo in the pitch. Swing and a miss again. Struck him out. Six strikeouts for Jared Jones through three innings. 1-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Jared Jones with seven strikeouts tonight.
Yeah, it was predetermined that I was going five innings today, no matter what happened. It's do you want to see me down the road or do you want to see me get shut down? That's what I think of it.
Jared Jones outstanding last night, five innings, 59 pitches, 50 strikes, seven strikeouts, one hit that probably should have been caught, no earned runs. He is historically good through four games. Only nine other players have struck out more guys in their first four starts than Jared Jones. He is unbelievably good right now. Do we agree with the decision to pull him after five innings? Do we agree with the decision to pull him after 59 pitches? Doran, the floor is yours.
Yes, I mean, if he's on a pitch count, he's a young pitcher who throws hard. And Crowley, like, I know that this is exactly where we're going to go. I mean, leading into it, I mean, look at all the arm injuries. Look at all the arm injuries going around a Major League Baseball. And you want to preserve. You want to make sure that you stick to the plan. He is playing, he's pitching unbelievable. And it's a pleasant surprise for a lot of people. I get it. And you want to see more. We always want more. And you brought it up earlier, like, these games will count if you don't do the things necessary whenever it's time to, you know, put up or shut up, kind of like we're seeing with the Penguins. But if there's a young pitcher who throws the way he does that is on a pitch count, that is on an innings count, you got to stick with it. And I have no problem with that. This is why we came into the season saying that the bullpen was the strength for situations like this. That's why, you know, the Aroldis Chapmans were in the Holdermans and even Bednar, like those guys were talked about as being the strength of this Pirates baseball team at the beginning of the season. So I have no problem with it. This is a young pitcher who throws hard and you want to preserve him throughout the rest of the season and work his way up to building up to being able to pitch longer. And it's still early.
You hit on a lot of the key points there for me, man. In particular, the bullpen. You expect if Jared Jones goes five innings, you're supposed to have one of the best bullpens in all of baseball. Luis Ortiz has mostly been good. You should be able to turn it over to Luis Ortiz. You've got a lead. After two innings, you hand that ball over to Aroldis Chapman, who you should have faith in. You're paying him $10.5 million, and then you should be able to hand the ball over to David Bednar, who's an all-star the last two seasons, who was able to secure his save the last time he had an opportunity. I've seen people say, you took a guaranteed win and you flushed it down the toilet. Not so much. Here's a point that I have seen nobody make on this, Doran. Why in the world would you pull Jared Jones 59 pitches? Oh my God, blah, blah, blah. As good as he's been, and he has been very good, a 3.13 ERA, 32 strikeouts, two walks, as good as he's been. Third time facing an order. So the first time he dominates, second time through dominates, the third time through the batting order, he has a .294 batting average against, a .333 on base percentage against, .529 slugging percentage against, and .863 OPS against. The third time through the order, he has not been Superman. He has not been as good. When teams get a beat on him, those numbers aren't outstanding. It's not like they're crushing the guy, but they are having more success and they are squaring up more pitches and he is not pitching as well the third time through the order. Here's another thing, and we'll let you hear from Derek Shelton in the next segment. This is the first time he's pitched on 5 days rest this year. He was pitching around off days before. He's gone on the sixth day. He's had the extra day of rest built in. He did not have an extra day of rest built in here. So the game plan was, before it even started, he's going five innings or he's going, what I heard, 70 pitches. Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to throw him out there in the sixth inning when he's got 59 pitches and then pull him when he gets to 70
right.
And maybe then put Luis Ortiz in a situation where it's again, the third time through the order, and you've got ducks on the pond and make it harder on your bullpen? No, I don't think so. It makes sense to me.
Me too.
You don't want to have to shut this guy down the stretch. And look, we've seen every game matters. Look at the Pittsburgh Penguins. I understand. I do. But think about the pushback you're going to get if it's September and Paul Skenes can't pitch because he's reached his limit. Jared Jones can't pitch because he's reached his limit. He threw 91 pitches in a start. He threw 85. He threw 80. They have stretched him out. But this game was different. It was the first time going on 5 days rest. I don't think it's going to be like this every time out. It hasn't been. He's gotten up closer to 100 pitches. They're going to let him do that from time to time. They just thought this made sense as the first game to really put the hampers on him and treat him with kid gloves. They figured this was the best time to do that, given the rest circumstance and given the third time through the lineup stuff. I can't argue with it. I really can't. I understand why people are pissed. You want to win baseball games. You thought that him being out there would have given you a better chance to win a baseball game. I understand that point of view too. But I'm actually riding with the Pirates on this one. What say you? 412-928-9370. We are talking about a guy who ain't quite built like me, but he's almost built like me. And he throws 98 miles an hour. He's not 6'1 like he's listed. He's probably 5'11. He throws every pitch like he's a closer. His breaking stuff is 90 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
He does not have the frame of a Paul Skenes or a Gerrit Cole or a Jameson Taillon or a Steven Strasburg. And we've seen all of those guys have elbow injuries. This guy doesn't have the frame. So just be careful, that's all. Rob in Chicago first up on this. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. Good morning. You know, with Dura Jones, these pitchers nowadays are doing stuff to the baseball that you couldn't do with a wiffle ball. Look at Charlie Morton when he was with the Pirates. Look what he did with Tampa Bay and Houston. I mean, that ball is just breaking all over the place. And the human arm can only handle so much. I mean, pretty soon, pitchers are going to be treated like running backs in the NFL. I mean, they're going to blow out their arm eventually.
And you're kind of – I do agree with you, Rob, and thank you so much for the call, 412-928-9370. I do think with a lot of these guys, unfortunately, it's an if – it's a when, not an if
yes.
circumstance.
Yes.
And you just – you got to be careful.
Got to be careful. I mean, I don't have to reiterate what you just said. Just the way he pitches like a closer. You want to preserve. You want to make sure you're going to do right. And we question the pitching staff at times here. We question the pitching staff in the development of pitchers, and we worry a lot. They're actually trying to do right by this young pitcher in Jared Jones and having the success he's had and make sure that he doesn't push it too much.
Yes. We had Zangrilli on Monday. He's our analytics baseball nerd, and we love him for that. He said the way it's done in baseball now is however many innings you pitched the year prior, you tack on maybe 25%, 20-25% the following year. We all, it seems, understand why they're being careful with Paul Skenes. Paul Skenes only threw 126 innings last year. You're only going to push that up to 140, 145. Jared Jones threw 126 innings last year. Same number. So you need these guys down the stretch. I smacked the microphone there. You need these guys if and when you're in a playoff race because the optics and the reality of shutting them down at that point is too much even for this organization to handle. So you pick your spots now. It's not like they've done this for every start. It's not like it was 50-50-50-50. It's not like he's only thrown 200 pitches. It was 90. It was 85. It was 80. They just decided that the first time he's pitching, not on 6 days rest,
yes.
That's when they're going to pick their spot to take it
makes
easy
sense.
On him. It does make sense. And everyone is screaming on social media, and I'm sure it's going to happen all day long on 93.7 The Fan with our other host. Why are they doing this? I can't see why they're doing this. You're just being careful when we are now seeing across the sport, guys are getting hurt more than ever. And it's spin rate and it's velocity. This guy is the epitome of spin rate and velocity. If it's June, if it's July, I think we're having a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But even Martin Perez, who's been pitching forever, who is not a high spin rate guy, who's not a high velocity guy, they wouldn't send him out there for the eighth inning the other day when he threw 100 pitches. Why? Because it's April. And again, we can say every game matters, and they do. You're also going to see teams be more careful with their starting pitchers early in the season as they build them back up than they will be later in the year. If we're having the same conversation June, July, different. August, I'm willing to fight the Pirates on that, but not right now. What do you think? 412-928-9370. Dorn and I agree with the Pirates here, and I don't think it's just Derek Shelton. Like, Derek's catching a lot of the flack here. This is an organizational decision. We'll let you hear from the manager coming up next. You can say your piece on this as well at 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line is brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
It was predetermined. He was throwing five, and we had a pitch count on him for today. It was his first time on five. I mean, this guy's one of our really good young pitchers, as he demonstrated today. So we knew going into the game that it was going to be five.
So that was more of a longer-term thing. I mean, when you look at it, he had 85 whatever pitches in his last couple starts.
Yeah, I mean, he's thrown, I think, 91, 85, 80. So we knew the first time that he went on five that we were going to back him down. I mean, this kid's really important to us, as anybody that watched will see. So, you know, it was one of those things where we knew where he was going to be. He was really good. When you're really good and you make a decision like that, then, you know, people are going to wonder what's going on. He's healthy. He's good. But it was something we had going in predetermined.
We fired Matt Canada on this year's radio show. We called for Mike Sullivan's firing earlier today. We are not going to take it easy on guys if we don't think they deserve it. And I buy Derek Shelton's explanation there for why he and an organizational decision to lift Jared Jones happened. He threw 80-plus pitches each of his first three starts. It's not like they're treating him with kid gloves every time out there. They thought this was the right time to do it strategically, and so they did it because he wasn't going on 6 days rest. He was going on five for the first time this year. You're going to have to find a way with both he and Paul Skeens to be selective when you do this. If Jared Jones were up from the beginning of the season like he's been, but he was only going out there and throwing 60 pitches each start, I'd be right there with Pirates fans. Mm-hmm. I'd crush them for that. Why would he be up here if you're going to do that every time? This was the one-off. This was the exception. This wasn't the rule. So I'm okay with it. And I'm really in love with our texters today and the people who are tweeting the show, Doran. Because we do have a lot of folks say, this is soft, baseball's soft, I can't believe they're doing this, blah, blah, blah. But other smart folks talking about Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor back with the Chicago Cubs. When those guys were going out there and throwing and throwing and throwing and throwing, and they blow their arms out.
Right.
Now, Kerry Wood had 20 strikeouts in a game, but at what cost? Now, his career didn't become what it could have become. Mark Pryor's career didn't become what it could have become because we didn't know back then what we do know now about pitching. You can't go max effort all the time. You can't go max effort for 125, 130, 140. Guys break. Another comp someone tweeted in, Tim Lincecum, not the biggest guy in the world. And he was throwing upper 90s with that weird delivery. And all of a sudden, one year he comes out, he's throwing 88. Why? Because they ruined him. He was great. Cy Young's. They ruined him. I don't get the vitriol here, man. I don't.
I will say this, and just beware. The same thing's going to happen with Skeens, and you're going to want to see more, and it's not going to happen. So this is a situation to almost premeditative get you ready for Paul Skeens whenever he does get brought up here. He's going to probably look somewhat maybe the same. I'm anticipating he's going to look somewhat the same, and it may be even shorter.
Yep.
And they may have a lead or may need to protect the lead. Or
he might be 60 pitches every time out.
Right. So just get ready. Like, this is something that, like you said, this is a team-wide deal. It's not just on Shelton for the innings count and the pitch count. And it makes too much sense to me that I can't believe that people... I understand why people are upset because they want to see more and they want them to win games.
Yeah.
And they thought that he could win the game last night. I get it. But it's just way too early to push a guy like that.
Again, if it were every time out,
yes,
I'd be annoyed. It hasn't been. This was the one-off. This was the exception. And he was dealing and he was spectacular. And it's probably the best he's looked. But they predetermined it. And I think for good reason. What do you think? 412-928-9370. I saw Starkey tweet out last night that if you're going to have Jared Jones go out there and only throw 59 pitches, then you should have Skeens up here doing the same thing. There's a difference between the two, though. They're being even more careful with Skeens. They're not letting him go past 60 pitches. They have not let him go past 3 1/3. It's been different with Jones, where he has thrown 90, he has thrown 85, he has thrown 80. They're not comfortable doing that yet with Skeens. And here's the difference. Their frames are different. I'm more worried about Jones's frame. I said that a couple days ago, right, even before any of this happened.
Right.
But the difference is, while Jones didn't start on day five or after day five at any point this year, and that's why they've ramped him back for this start, Skeens has never done it ever. You have to build him up. And they're going maybe a little bit slower than I'd like to see. Let the guy go out for four. Let him go out for four the next three times, and then five, and then get him up here. But I get why they're doing it with him, too. Get him up here by May. Fast-track him a little bit more than you are, but their situations are not created equally. And that's why you're not going to have Skeens up here only going three innings. This is a good bullpen. No bullpen's good for six innings. None. So I do see the difference there. Should we talk to Jamie in the car?
Yes.
Hi, Jamie.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, brother.
Listen, I don't even know where to begin. No disrespect intended, but I can't agree with anything about bringing these guys along so slowly. I mean, this organization and the decisions they make, I mean, you say you want to save your bullpen and control your bullpen. You pull a guy last night after 59 pitches who's cruising, pitched another inning, at least maybe two, and still not reached the 80 or 85 pitch mark that he's been at. And the Skeens situation, I mean, I was searching all over the internet after his last start in AAA, thinking, why in the heck do you put a guy back in for one pitch in the top of the fourth inning and take him out after 3 1/3? Nothing they do makes sense.
I think all of this makes sense when you look around Major League Baseball and you see 60 pitchers right now on the shelf because they got elbow problems. And you draft a guy one run.
Our elbow problem is going to be the cause of throwing 85 pitches as compared to 60 or 3 1/3 as opposed to 3 or 4. Like, if you're going to take Paul Skeens out of that game last week, take him out after the third. Putting him back out there in the fourth inning to throw one pitch and then making a pitching change absolutely makes no sense.
I think here's where I'll meet you on this, Jamie. At some point, Skeens needs to start throwing it a full fourth inning and then a full fifth inning. And then once you get to that point, you're going to, as we see with Jones, treat him a little bit with kid gloves, but they'll have built him up.
Right.
I do think you need to go slow with the buildup. And then here's the other thing, Jamie. They have an innings cap on these guys, and they haven't explicitly told us what that is. In totality, do you want him pitching more innings here or in AAA? You'd rather have him pitch those innings here, but you got to build him up to that point first.
No doubt about it.
I disagree with a lot of the things the Pirates do.
Not this one. Nope.
Not this one. If we want to get into Henry Davis, oh my God, we can. And how they may have screwed him up. And it's not over for Henry Davis, but you get what I'm saying here. We can have those conversations. Why was Luis Ortiz not thrown as hard last year? Why was Ronzi Contreras not thrown as hard last year? Why was Quinn Priester not thrown as hard last year? Why have guys not developed? I get all that. But being careful with these two potential studs, that I do get. Should we revisit it with John Wehner at 8:35?
Of course.
I am fascinated by his take on this.
I'm fascinated because I just got this tweet, and it says, I'll die on this hill. I know I'm in the minority, but all these arm issues didn't come around until analytics and load management took over baseball, and we'll gladly call and discuss. I don't think the arm injuries have to do with load management or analytics.
I'm happy you bring that up, and I'm happy the texter brought it up.
Jeremy Keenan, yeah.
Good tweet. That is a good tweet.
It is.
Because a lot of people have said that. Well, you're only throwing 59 pitches, and now you're babying these guys. And because you baby these guys, when you eventually do push them, that's when they're getting hurt. All the minds in baseball know more about this than we do, and they've got all the data on this. What I think it is it's max velocity and it's spin rate. And so the best way to get guys out, proven, Nowadays, throw hard, have a lot of spin. That's how you get guys out. The numbers dictate that. How do you make sure you do that all season? How do you make sure guys are able to do that in August, in September, in, please, October? You've got to be careful with them. I don't think it's the load management that's hurting these guys. It's the spin rate. It's the velocity. We'll talk to John about it. I can't wait to talk to him. And then we'll talk to Doug Whaley at 9 o'clock about the organizational philosophy on things such as this. But coming up next, we don't want to stray too far off the Penguins. They're out. They're going to play a meaningless game tonight against the New York Islanders. And it sucks. Where do things go from here? We've said we'd fire Mike Sullivan. Will the organization do that? And who makes the final call?
Save in. Empty net for the Flyers. Extra attacker out. And Oshie with a chance to put it away. We'll do just that. The other game has gone to overtime. Won't matter for the Flyers, but for the Capitals, that's a huge goal as they take a 2-1 lead, and they are 3 minutes away from a playoff berth.
Ah, crap. Penguins play a meaningless game now tonight. They got no help last night. They'll take on the Islanders in only Sidney Crosby's second game that has zero playoff implications going all the way back to 2007. So someone's going to have to pay for this. It's not going to be Kyle Dubas, the new guy. They're not going to trade any of the core three. They probably won't trade any of the core four. So do you fire the coach? Dorn and I say yes. We don't say that with any glee. We don't take any delight in that. He won two championships here. Same way, if the Steelers ever fired Tomlin, if it were deserved, I'd say, okay, cool. I'd still respect the guy and the job that he did.
Yes.
That's how I feel today about Sullivan. We've said our piece. The question is, will they do it? And who will make the decision? Because Mike Sullivan was given a contract extension over the head of Ron Hextall. And Ron Hextall didn't get any such contract extension. Fenway Sports Group gives one to Sullivan. Hextall later on gets fired. Dubas is brought on. He's the grand poobah of all things hockey. Is this a Fenway Sports Group decision, or are they letting the hockey guy do the hockey things?
That's a great question.
I think so, and I don't know that I have an answer for it.
I don't know if I do either. But
we're going to find out.
I mean, yeah, and we say this a lot, too. I mean, you're going to have to take Crosby's, you know, thoughts in consideration as well. So, I mean, I think that if you look at the room, you got Dubas, you got Sullivan, you got Crosby, and you got Fenway. You know, the votes, whatever way they swing, I think that that's what they'll do. But
I think if he gets fired, it means that Dubas had the final say.
Yes. He convinced Fenway Sports Group that they need to head into a different direction. He did everything possible last offseason to make this as best of a roster as possible. He got people off the books. I did my job. I acquired and traded for one of the best, you know, better defensemen in the league, and we expected that to work, and it didn't. Do we expect it to work next year with the same regime?
I would think that Dubas believes in his roster more than he believes in the guy who is writing the lineup.
Yes.
Now, he's going to believe in Erik Karlsson. He thought it would work one way, and it worked another way.
Right.
He probably thinks, what the hell's wrong with my power play? We got the good pieces. Why isn't it working? We've got pieces to work in 3-on-3 overtime. We suck in 3-on-3 overtime. We've got the pieces to create these third period leads. Why aren't they being held? I think Dubas would want him out. He wasn't his guy. Now, he defended him, Dubas did, at the deadline. He said it's the low-hanging fruit if you want to take on Mike Sullivan. That could be Fenway Sports Group operating him like a puppet,
that's
though.
Political speak, too.
Yeah, what are you going to say?
Right.
Like you just,
he stinks?
Yeah, you trade Jake Guentzel, and the next thing you do is you're gonna hammer the coach. Like, they weren't ever going to fire him midseason. They have too much respect for Sullivan to do that. This is going to be instructional, though. Like, if Sullivan gets fired, that's not going to be a Fenway Sports Group move. Now, they're not happy, clearly, that they don't make the playoffs. Gate revenue means so much in hockey, and packed barns for 2 weeks at PPG Paints Arena, that's going to help an awful lot. But I still think that Sullivan, by virtue of getting the contract over the head of Ron Hextall, he's got the backing and the belief of Fenway Sports Group. And he shouldn't. When you hire a new president of hockey operation, when you hire a guy to do two guys' jobs, When you hire Kyle Dubas to be Brian Burke and Ron Hextall, you should let the hockey people do hockey people things.
Yes.
If Lemieux owned the team, be more inclined to be okay with the ownership's decision. He doesn't. He doesn't. So let the hockey people make hockey decisions. Kyle Dubas should be the guy getting to pull the trigger on this if he sees fit. And if he doesn't see fit, then he's going to have hell to pay with me because it's just time. It's just time with Mike Sullivan. Do you think he's going to get fired? 412-928-9370, 412-928-9370. Because if you're not going to get rid of any of the core four, you're definitely not getting rid of any of the core three. It's the same thing.
You thought that they were going to be better this year than last year, and they were in the same spot, and you added Carlson. And you paid Jory.
Buddy, it's the identical season.
Same thing.
The identical season.
What's to tell us it wouldn't be like that next year? And then, especially whenever 37-year-old 87, 39-year-old Malkin.
Eventually, Crosby's going to show his age.
Yes.
Eventually, you're going to look up, and he's going to have 75 points and still be good, but not be Superman. And maybe it happens next year. I don't know that I'd predict that, but you also never know. You don't. Peyton Manning threw 55 touchdowns. Peyton Manning then threw 30-some-odd touchdowns. Then Peyton Manning threw 9 with 17 picks. Like, life comes at you fast. It's going to happen to these guys, too. And if you're not going to trade them, you got to make another massive shakeup. And firing Todd Reirden ain't a shakeup. It's necessary. That ain't the shakeup. They're going to have $15 million to spend this offseason. Their cap hits for next year, as it's constructed right now, are $73 million. The cap is expected to go up to $88 million. What do they do with the cap space? I'm already there, baby. I got one free agent to pay attention to, and another one that I'm starting to come around on. That's right. What? We're fixing the Penguins here on Wednesday because the game tonight means Bupkis. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Going to hear from Ray Fittipaldo coming up in 10 minutes. The NFL draft is a week from tomorrow. That came up quick, so we'll talk to him about draft-related things. Doug Whaley from 9 o'clock until 10. The Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing, heating, and air conditioning provider for over 50 years. Listen to this from Kyle Dubas right after he traded for Erik Karlsson, because I think it tells you exactly how this offseason's going to go. At least I hope.
When there's a player like that comes available, I think it wouldn't, especially with the core group and how special that core group of people is in the room. Anytime a player like that becomes available or talked about, I think it's incumbent on me to reach out and see if there's a fit there for us. And that was the way that I viewed that entire situation. You know, I think that anytime there's a player of that caliber that comes available throughout my time here, especially in this next stretch, probably realistic to think that we'll be involved or see if there's a way that we can be involved and add them to our group.
That should be the quote of the offseason for this Penguins team.
Can I guess who your guy is?
I think you're going to guess one of them, yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Why do you think I'm going to guess one?
I think there are three guesses. There are three guess. I think you will. I think there are two guys you could be guessing from here, and I think cover your ears. No, one way. Here are the two guys I think Doran. I'm going to cover my mouth. The two right, guys right, I think right, Doran will guess. Can you hear me right now, Doran? Start making noises. Okay, I'm just going to talk. He's going to guess Tom Wilson. He's going to guess Jake Guentzel. All right.
Steven Stamkos.
No!
Is that one?
Keep going. You got one more?
Was that one?
Steven Stamkos is the guy I was going to talk about, but that's not okay. One of the two guys I thought you were going to guess.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, an obvious one would be Guentzel, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who the other one would be.
I thought you were going to say Tom Wilson or a guy of that ilk. Go out there. I don't know that they'd part with him. I mean, they're a playoff team. That stupid minus 37 goal differential Capitals are a playoff team. I digress. So you guessed the guy I was going to say. That's Steven Stamkos. Uh-huh. He's a free agent. He's a center that's still playing like a number two center. You know, Malkin did not this year. Stamkos' biggest problem always was 2016, he plays 17 games. 2019, he plays 57 games. 2020, he plays 38 games. The last 3 years, 81, 81, and 78. He had 106 points, 84 points, 79 points. He had 40 goals this year, 34 and 42. This is exactly what Dubas is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They have not reached an agreement with Steven Stamkos. I don't know what it'll cost for a guy that's going to be 34, and I think that that'll be the sticking point for Penguins fans. Oh, really? We're going to get older? Well, they just did it with Carlson. There's no players who would have to go back the other way. I could see, you just heard Dubas himself say it.
Yes.
Big game hunting. If there's a big name player available, he's going to be involved. There's no bigger name available than Steven Stamkos. And just think about this. And I'm probably getting way ahead of myself here, but we can spend 3 minutes on it. Crosby, Malkin, Stamkos, Eller.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Give it to me. The other guy is, I've come back around on this. I don't think that this is going to happen. Gensel. Think about that. You guessed him, too. Think about that. You have Bunting. You have the return for Gensel. And then you could have Gensel. Now, I don't think that there would be a world where these two things could coexist, where you would get Stamkos and Gensel. But just think about that, too. If he'd be willing and amenable to come back, and it didn't sound like he is whenever the Penguins played Carolina. But if he were, you go Gensel, Crosby, Rust. You go Malkin, Bunting, whomever.
O'Connor.
Drew O'Connor's part of it. Maybe he's on your third line. You would push everything down.
Mm-hmm.
And by everything, I mean O'Connor, who I think has proven he could be a useful player. I'm just saying, you might think, Crowley, that sounds crazy. He's 34 years old. You just heard it from Dubas.
Yeah. You also need a goaltender, too, though. So that those are names we haven't done. I mean, I haven't done the research, and I don't want to put you on a spot, but a goaltender could be a part of this conversation, a big-time goaltender, if there is a free agent out there.
Yeah. The guy for the Jets last year was talked about, Connor Hellebuck.
Yep.
I don't know if he'd be available. We'll see. How much money do you really want to tie up in goaltending when it's so volatile? I'll tell you, you don't want Tristan Jarry around.
Right.
Can you move him? I don't know. Other general managers have eyes, too, so we'll see. But I want to be on record first. This show, keep an eye on Stamkos. And from a power play perspective, oh my, because he's still got that clapper. Coming up next, Ray Fittipaldo going to join us. The NFL draft just around the corner. We'll pick his brain on some NFL draft-related things before we get back into the Penguins coming up at 8:20. Right now, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, so are the deals at Sun Chevrolet. SunChevy.com. Today, high 75, low 55, 55% chance of thunderstorms.